The governor unveiled his spending proposal this past week, and it's controversial with many, including many in the land conservation movement.
That's because the proposal calls for a freeze on the state land stewardship fund until the year 2028. That concerns Aaron Zaleski and Kimberly Gleffy of the River Revitalization Foundation, a Milwaukee urban land trust. They fear impacts beyond that of the stewardship fund itself.
Zaleski oversees the expansive Greenway project along the Milwaukee River. It was there that he spoke with WUWM's Susan Bentz and offered an overview of the situation.
The Greenway starts where we are down near the North Avenue Dam. It goes all the way up to Silver Spring. So there's over 800 acres of green space. About 70% is owned by the county. So working closely with them is really important. There's private land in between. So a lot of what we're trying to do now is connect trails in between, get easements with private landowners. That work will keep going for a long time. It takes a long time to get those deals in place. There's a habitat plan being worked on right now that we've contracted for, which will guide restoration efforts. What target species in different locations can we go after, and what sort of habitat do we need to create to make them happy, to get them to live there again?
When you describe this project and its importance, I mean, how do you convey that to people who may not live right on the river or don't venture from the west side or the south side, or why it's important and what you see happening already?
Yeah, I think I like to start with the history. I think the story of the Milwaukee River is just really intriguing, how it was a recreational center and the lake wasn't. Early 20th century, the mid-20th century, this is where people recreated. There were swimming schools and an amusement park, canoe races. And then as sort of the industry upstream, as their gifts to the river started to collect, it got gross and people turned their back on it. And then in the early 90s, the dam came out and it kind of started this renaissance and people are rediscovering it. So I always start by asking people if they've been there and encouraging them to check it out if they haven't, because they'll be really surprised when you're down on those trails and you can't see any buildings and you could be anywhere.
There's often bumps in the road, or you anticipate bumps in the road. The governor's plan to freeze the stewardship fund is the most current crisis for people doing your work. So explain how the stewardship fund has fit into projects here on the river.
Mm-hmm. It's been really important. A lot of the land is owned by the county, and so that's protected and safe. And so a lot of our work, the goal is to connect these gaps between county land that's open to the public. And the stewardship fund is a huge, huge, critical piece of what land trusts do, which are nonprofit private groups that conserve land for the public, on behalf of the public, for public use. So this land, we own it, but it's open to the public. And the stewardship fund provides a 50% match for land acquisitions, for buying it or for getting an easement. Here on the river, it's been used in a lot of the projects that have happened since the mid-90s. The Beer Line Trail takes you from Riverboat Road up to Locust, and it's a paved bike trail, dog trail. People in the neighborhood use that all the time. And I'm sure they don't know that this state program is what made that possible. But buying that railroad right-of-way was made possible with the stewardship fund. The Rotary Centennial Arboretum by the Urban Ecology Center, what made that tick was the stewardship fund that our deceased partner, Peter Godfrey, saw as a huge opportunity. He wanted to donate some land and knew that by donating it, he could get leverage with the state to get this grant to even have a larger impact than his donation, which was worth $2 million.
So in other words, it culminated in not just his land, but additional land mm-hmm. that you were able to purchase to add to the mm-hmm. size and scope of that.
Right. So the stewardship fund leverages private donations to increase the impact.
And then for people who haven't been to that spot, it's another super accessible area where people, whether they're walking or in wheelchairs or however they get around, can easily enter, enjoy all this habitat, get down to the river.
Yeah, the paved trails in the Arboretum allow somebody to get down to the river in a wheelchair for the first time, you know, pretty much ever, since the dam came out, definitely. Where we're at down here, the Wheelhouse Project was also funded by the Stewardship Fund. The stewardship grant for the Wheelhouse was $700,000. The project as a whole was $1.4 million. So for us to raise $1.4 million from scratch would be really, really difficult, obviously. But having 50% of it done for us is makes these things doable. Where we're at right now, this office, RF's office, the River House, and the project, it's almost done, the shoreline restoration project. We were able to get this land because Peter Godfrey's donation was worth more than the adjacent parcel that it was being used to purchase through the stewardship fund match. So we had this leftover credit. We were able to use that to buy this as well, just magnifying that impact even more.
So there's more than the stewardship fund that stands to be pulled back, and that is what?
There are programs the DNR calls capacity grants, which enable organizations like us just to function, pay the bills and exist and do the work we do. And we've gotten one 5 of the last 6 years, and it could just disappear like that. Right now, it's probably about a quarter of our operational budget. It's a big chunk. And an organization like Gathering Waters in Madison that does a lot of our advocacy, they have an even bigger capacity grant they rely on that allows them to exist.
So when I came in, I had the stewardship fund primost in my mind. Yeah. But there's also conversations about the Natural Resources Board and shifting that to an advisory body versus a decision policymaking one. So what does that have to do with what you guys do?
The Natural Resources Board is really the review and advisory to the DNR on everything stewardship.
This is Kimberly Gleffy.
And there are delegates from all around the state. And they actually look at every single project that goes through their grant cycle and make recommendations. So by taking away some of that power, meaning expertise, experience, different lenses from geography and background, it renders them powerless. And then we don't have advocates on the board to move our grants forward to protect places where these people are representing us. So that tripod of really difficult challenges in these decisions and recommendations in this budget will have a severe impact on the work we do here. We're especially challenged because of the cost of the land, the density, you know, trying to get small projects done that are very expensive. We're challenged that way already. And then, you know, to have these other pieces taken away would be detrimental. We'd really have to find ways to make up the funding and people.
You're fighting saying devastating.
Yeah, I am fighting. Yeah, it would be devastating. And this is a state that cherishes its outdoors and, you know, the North Woods and the parks in the city and our greenways and trails and recreational opportunities, and it's being endangered. It's going to be on the endangered list along with a lot of other wildlife, and, you know, it's really moving backward.
Kimberly Gleffy is Executive Director for the River Revitalization Foundation. Aaron Zaleski is the Milwaukee Greenway Director. They spoke with Lake Effect Susan Bentz. You'll find all of our state budget coverage at WUWM.com.